In Catherine Parr Trail's Pioneer Manual, The Canadian Settler's Guide, readers learn practical gardening tips before they're educated in the essential task of making bread. Trail promoted gardening among the public and at the same time took personal advantage of these publishing opportunities, as she reveals in a letter in 1882 addressed to her son William. I get some things from Vic of Rochester and write for his Illustrated magazine, and he sends me seeds. For my pay, I have sent him $15, subscriptions for his magazine since last May, paid in seeds for her writing. Trail bestows tremendous material value on the garden. While both sisters view these terrains as vital to their daily lives, critics largely ignore this aspect of their domestic environs, even when the scholarship focuses on landscape and landscape aesthetics. The majority of critics tend to discuss Moody's and Trail's physical and intellectual processing of the environment on a grand scale, but an argument can also be made for the centrality of the garden to the sisters' expression of the female immigrant experience. Combining British gardening theory, horticultural pragmatics, and wilderness settler environment, the garden served as a layering reflections of the Strickland sisters' own physical and cultural transplanting to Upper Canada. So Susanna Moody and Catherine Parr Trail, their maiden name had been Strickland. As context-specific conditions where British culture is visibly mixed with wilderness settler environment of Upper Canada, Moody's success was contingent upon their ability to work within cumulative garden palimpsests, where different actors plant species, native or imported, landscape features, environmental conditions themselves or others were at play in the complex, interrelated ways. Moody's private letters convey a keen artistic interest in the treatment of terrain immediately surrounding the home, as opposed to a grand prospect. And then this quotation from one of her letters. I never tried to draw a landscape in my life, but I will send you two flower sketches I did, one of wild marsh iris, the other of a rose that grew at my cottage door. Another letter illuminates her lifetime sentimental involvement with flowers, a result of her childhood at Raden Hall in Britain and her conspicuously feminized gardening activity. Quote, I always recall our large gardens at home with a sad regret, and the want of flowers is to me a sad privation, very hard to be borne. In my old house, which was of stone, every window was full of flowers, and I tended them with a mother's care. When Moody and Catherine Parr Trail began turning soil in Upper Canada, their backwoods gardens were primarily with vegetables and fruit in order to supply the basic needs of their families. The backwood kitchen garden represented both continuity with and radical departures from the cottage garden tradition and its incorporation of picturesque aesthetics and thrifty practice of food cultivation. In their discussion of the growth of England's middle class from 1780 to 1850, Catherine Hall observes that gardening increased in popularity as more families purchased country or urban homes with modest gardens. Consequently, the aesthetics of the landscape garden were in need of adaptation. And so she goes on to indicate how these sisters continued both to recreate the cottage garden that they had known in England, but came to realize that this wild primeval landscape required other ways of gardening, other plants. Whether belonging to an illustrious villa or a well-tended romanticized cottage, these gardens contain a mixture of plantings both beautified and provided for sustenance. For the middle class, the cottage garden included flowers, vegetables, and often small livestock. Catherine Parr Trail in another letter says, some pretty wild woody lanes skirted the park and grounds of a nobleman whose land lay contiguous to our own estate. At home in England, In the spring, there were borders to weed or seedlings to transplant and tobacco plants to top. In the summer, there was fruit to gather for homemade wine, for which received 1 penny per peck. Ripe seeds to collect with many other vegetables and pot herbs, for all of which a regular agreement was entered into and bargain made as to the price before we commenced our operations. It's a fascinating story of gardening, and I may come back to some more of it another time. Thank you for being a listener, and I hope you will tune in again. This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose.